Buckle up, everybody, because today's deep dive is going to shake things up a bit.
Oh, I like where this is going.
We're tackling a question, well, a big question that I think a lot of us have probably thought about.
Lay it on us.
Is humanity really the center of everything? Like, really?
Okay, getting right to the heart of it, I see.
And to really dissect this, we're going deep into theologian Michael Rosenberger's book, Crown of Creation.
Krone der Schöpfung.
Right.
The original German title.
You know it.
Yeah.
And to help us navigate this dense philosophical landscape.
Dense is putting it mildly.
We've got Clemens Lynchinger's review to guide us.
Always good to have a strong, opinionated voice when tackling a book like this.
And Lynchinger, he doesn't hold back. He praises Rosenberger for really challenging this whole humans are the best thing.
Right, that whole anthropocentric worldview.
Exactly. But, and this is where it gets interesting, Lynchinger kind of wished Rosenberger had just laid out his counterarguments right away.
Like, don't tease me with this. Show me the goods.
Yeah, like he was ready for a good theological throwdown.
Yeah. He was ready to see those anthropocentric arguments get taken apart piece by piece.
Exactly. And Rosenberger, he kind of does that. You know, he starts off with this really sharp comparison. The Catholic Church's 1991 catechism, which basically puts humans at the top of the ladder.
The be-all and end-all, yeah.
And then he contrasts it with Pope Francis's 2015 encyclical, Laudato Si, which stresses the importance of all creation.
It's almost like even within the church, there's this tension, right? This wrestling match about our place in the world.
It's a theological balancing act, for sure. But to really understand what we're dealing with here, Rosenberger divides anthropocentrism into three distinct types.
Methodological, formal, and teleological.
Now, I know those sound like words you'd hear in a philosophy lecture.
Maybe even a bit intimidating.
Right. So let's try to break it down a bit.
Make it digestible.
Exactly. So methodological anthropocentrism. Think about how we experience the world through our senses, right? Our very human senses.
We're limited by our own perception.
That's it. It's not about being superior. It's about recognizing that we understand things through a human lens.
Which should actually be humbling.
Exactly. Okay, now add on the idea of formal anthropocentrism, which focuses on us being accountable for what we do.
The choices we make, the impact we have.
And finally, we get to the big one that Rosenberger really challenges. Teleological anthropocentrism.
The idea that everything on this planet exists solely for human benefit.
Like the earth is just one giant buffet for humanity.
And that's where things get especially interesting, particularly for our listeners who are familiar with the Bible.
Because?
Well, think about it. One of the most common arguments for anthropocentrism comes straight from Genesis.
Genesis is the beginning. Okay, got it.
Genesis 1.26 specifically.
Yeah.
Where it says God gave humans dominion over animals.
Right. That whole humans are in charge passage.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Rosenberger argues that this passage, it's been misinterpreted.
Misinterpreted? How so?
Well, he emphasizes that the original Hebrew text, it points more towards responsibility.
Responsibility instead of just like ruling with an iron fist.
Exactly. More like stewardship. Taking care of the earth, not just taking from it.
Like we're caretakers, not conquerors.
Exactly. And get this, Rosenberger takes it even further. He suggests that in Genesis, it's not actually humans who are at the very top of creation.
Wait, what? If humans aren't at the top, who is?
Well, according to Rosenberger, the Sabbath.
The Sabbath? Hold on. You're saying the day of rest is more important than humanity?
It's definitely a unique interpretation and one that our reviewer, Lynchinger, finds a bit hard to swallow.
I bet. That's a pretty bold claim.
It is. He thinks Rosenberger might be cherry-picking Bible verses a little bit to support his argument.
Interesting. I mean, it definitely gets you thinking, doesn't it? Like, what does it really mean to be the crown of creation? And what if the answer is more complicated than we thought? Okay, so we're questioning the whole humans are top dog thing, but where did this idea even come from?
Right. If it's not really a core Christian belief, how did it become so ingrained in our thinking?
It's like, is it in our DNA or something?
Well, Rosenberger makes a really interesting point about that. He traces those anthropocentric roots back to a surprising source. Ancient Greek philosophy.
Those toga-wearing philosophers.
Really? Yep, guys like Aristotle, who believed that because animals lacked reason, they were inferior to humans.
Okay, so that makes sense. Aristotle, logic, reason, humans have it, animals don't.
Exactly. And then you have the Stoics, who took it a step further and believed that the entire natural world existed for the sake of humanity.
So it's like those ideas were already floating around and then early Christians kind of absorbed them.
It's a possibility, Rosenberger brings up, and it gets even more interesting when you consider that many early church fathers couldn't actually read the original Hebrew Bible.
Wait, what? They couldn't read Hebrew?
Nope, they relied on a Greek translation called the Septuagint.
Ah, the Septuagint. The OG Bible translation for a lot of folks back then.
Exactly. And if that translation already had these subtle hints of anthropocentrism baked into it, well...
It's like a giant game of theological telephone. The message might have gotten a little jumbled along the way.
Exactly. And that makes you wonder how much of this human-centered view we've inherited almost by accident.
Whoa. So if we're letting go of this idea that we're the center of the universe, where does that leave us? Like, what's our role then?
That's the million-dollar question, right? But here's the thing. Rosenberger argues that ditching anthropocentrism doesn't mean we have to ditch core Christian values.
Okay, I'm listening. How do those two things fit together?
Well, he proposes this really interesting idea he calls biocentric Christianity.
Biocentric Christianity? That sounds intense. What does that even mean?
It's about valuing all life, not just human life.
Okay, so instead of being at the top of the pyramid, we're like part of the ecosystem.
Exactly. Recognizing the worth of every creature and seeing ourselves as stewards, not rulers.
So like hitting the reset button on our relationship with nature.
Precisely. And this is where Linshinger, our trusty reviewer, really gets on board with Rosenberger's message.
He's a fan of this biocentric Christianity thing.
He is, especially for anyone who might be confusing humanism with this idea of superiority.
So no more humans are the best bumper stickers.
Not if we're taking biocentric Christianity seriously.
Fair enough. But does Linshinger agree with everything Rosenberger says?
Well, he does have one tiny critique.
Uh-oh, what's the catch?
He feels like Rosenberger kind of rushes through the theological implications of this whole biocentric worldview.
He leaves us hanging.
A little bit. Like, he lays out this amazing feast for thought, but doesn't quite give us the dessert menu.
So we're left wanting more.
Exactly. But maybe that's the point. It's a conversation that needs to keep going, evolving, getting deeper.
Yeah, some ideas just have a way of sticking with you.
They linger, you know, make you rethink things.
Totally. And Linshinger, he brings up something else that adds another layer to all of this.
Oh, what's that?
Well, he points out that Rosenberger's book, it's very focused on religious perspectives.
Which makes sense given the title, right? Crown of Creation.
Right. But Linshinger points out that the book doesn't really address what anthropocentrism looks like outside of religion.
Interesting. So, like, how would an atheist view human value in relation to the rest of the natural world?
Exactly. Or someone from a different spiritual tradition.
They might have totally different ways of understanding our place in the grand scheme of things.
Right. It's like we've been looking at this one piece of the puzzle for so long.
And there might be a whole bunch of other pieces out there that we haven't even considered.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, what about the rise of AI? Where does that fit into all of this?
Whoa. Yeah. If we're talking about a biocentric view where all life has value, does AI change the equation?
It's like we're stepping into this whole new realm of ethical and philosophical questions.
And I think that's what makes this whole conversation so fascinating, right?
It's like we're challenging these deeply ingrained assumptions.
Assumptions about our place in the world, about what it means to be human.
And opening ourselves up to new ways of thinking.
And I think that's a great place to leave it for today, you know, with more questions than answers.
Because sometimes the questions are just as important. If not more so.
They keep us curious, keep us exploring, keep us engaged.
Exactly. So to our amazing listeners out there, keep those questions coming, keep those conversations going.
And until next time, keep on diving deep.